タラッタッタッタッタララタラッタッタッタッタララタラッタッタッタッタララタタララタラタラタラタタ。
Hello and welcome. I'm Caroline.
And I'm Helen.
And we love to sew. This is a podcast for makers where we talk about sewing a handmade wardrobe and bring you interviews with inspiring creatives and small business owners in our community.
Today we are chatting about sewing goals. Are you hoping to be more sustainable with your makes in 2020? What about taking time to level up your skills? Or maybe you have a dream project that you want to tackle. We're covering all of our sewing goals in this New Year's Eve episode. Happy New Year! Popping bottles in the club, getting slizzard.
Thanks to Buffy for supporting Love to Sew. Buffy makes bedding that's super comfy and super sustainable. Buffy comforters keep you at the perfect temperature while you sleep so you feel cozy without overheating.
For $20 off your Buffy comforter, visit buffy.co and enter promo code Love to Sew.
Thanks also to Grammarly for supporting Love to Sew. Grammarly is a communication tool that helps people improve their writing to be mistake-free, clear, and effective.
Start writing confidently by going to grammarly.com/love to sew to get 20% off a Grammarly premium account today. And now, on to the show.
Hi, Helen.
Hi, Caroline.
How are you feeling today?
I'm actually feeling great, but I don't sound great, which is okay.
That's okay.
I think a lot of people can relate to that this time of year.
Oh, yeah.
I'm getting over a little cough, a little sore throat, so I apologize for being a bit raspy. Caroline might have to do the lion's share of the reading today, which will be exciting.
Lucky me.
We're really actually so pumped for today's episode because every year around this time, we try to do some kind of goal-focused episode. You know, it's New Year's, and I know some people hate talking about goals, but we actually really enjoy it. So it's fun to do an episode all about sewing goals and personal goals. And this year, we thought it'd be cool to reach out to the community and see what you all had to say about what you're planning for the new year. See if we could pinpoint any themes in the community, what people are thinking about, aspiring to, planning for. So it's going to be fun today to go through all of that with you.
I cannot wait.
But first, we have a little bit of feedback and a listener question. Our feedback today is from Lauren.
Ooh, let me read it.
Thanks.
Hello. I just listened to the episode about interfacing and had a few additional tips and thoughts. Interfacing won't stick to parchment paper. I usually iron on a low setting over parchment paper to get wrinkles out. Then to apply, I put a square of interfacing over my cut fabric with parchment paper underneath the fabric. So iron board, parchment paper, cut fabric, interfacing. Then spritz some water onto the interfacing with a water bottle. Then apply press cloth and steam iron. Let sit for 10 minutes, then remove the press cloth. After totally dry and cool, cut the interfacing edges to match the fabric piece. Anyway, just my method that I haven't heard on the podcast before. Lauren.
Thank you, Lauren. I'm really excited about this and I'm going to try it because I do love any method where you don't have to cut the interfacing piece ahead of time to be perfect to match your fabric. If you can just lay it on and cut it out after, it's great.
Isn't it pretty much impossible to cut the interfacing piece to match the fabric?
I don't know about you, but whenever I try to cut interfacing with my rotary cutter on my mat, it like the rotary cutter and the interfacing are not friends.
No, it like push, especially the lightweight interfacing, it kind of pushes it into the crack as you cut.
Yeah, it doesn't
want
to cut it.
You have a super, super sharp blade. And I just find like, especially pieces on fold, somehow it always ends up askew and the curve is different.
Yeah.
And I'm ending up kind of smoothing things out to make them match. And you have to pull out your pattern piece to make sure it's the right kind of, I don't know, it just never works well for me. So I'm super pumped about this tip too. And I love the detail of like the order of things. So I can't wait to try this as well. We also have a question from Tina. Hello, Helen and Caroline. I just listened to episode 4, What Katie Sews, and she talks about destashing her fabric. Also, wow, that's an old episode. I would like to destash some of my fabric. However, I don't have a large following on Instagram, mostly family and a few friends, and I'm not on Facebook. Do you have any suggestions for where I can post some of my fabric for sale? I enjoy your podcast, and yours and Threads are the only podcasts I listen to. When one finds the best, why look for more? Blessings, Tina.
Thanks, Tina.
Thanks, Tina. I also love the Threads Magazine podcast.
Yeah, it's great.
Okay, well, we definitely have some tips for you because I think a lot of our listeners can relate to this. If you want to get rid of fabric and you don't have anybody in your city that you can connect with to help do that, there are other online options. So eBay, Etsy, you can see if you can list some things on there and maybe you'll get lucky selling those online. But maybe you don't want to deal with the whole shipping aspect of that. And I would understand that. You could sell in a garage sale or donate to a thrift store, perhaps a smaller thrift store in your city that you know is going to keep the fabric and sell it and not, you know, recycle it or send it off to the landfill or something like that. Because yeah. I know some thrift stores will do that, unfortunately. You can also see if there are any fabric swaps in your community. So sometimes these are hosted by local fabric stores or a sewing guild or other kind of sewing-like communities. I think that's a really great option. Also, donating it to a local school, like a home ec class, could always use fabrics if you're willing to just donate instead of sell. Mm-hmm. Yeah, any other ideas?
I wonder, too, about smaller fabric companies. Like, one that comes to mind is Wellfiber. Mm-hmm. She sources a lot of fabric from thrift stores and things, and I wonder if people like her would be interested in purchasing fabric from other sewists as a sort of dead stock, like, trade almost, mm-hmm. right? Could be interesting.
Yeah. I've thought about doing in our new warehouse some kind of like a bin that's like take a fabric, leave a fabric for people.
Cute.
But I worry that it would get crazy.
Too popular.
Or like too, like people would like bring too much or something and then yeah. it would just overflow really quickly.
Yeah. I do think having a regular fabric swap would be fun.
Yeah. Oh yeah. We got to do that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, good luck with your fabric destash. Hope you find some way to get rid of that fabric. I mean, I'm very curious. I wish I could see your collection.
There's a little hint from Helen. Nudge, nudge.
All right. Let's get to the show because we have a lot to cover today. Yes. And we're going to kick things off by talking a bit about our 2019s and our 2020. A nice opportunity to reflect on the past year and maybe identify areas for improvement.
What are you talking about, Helen?
I'm just reading what it says.
Yeah.
No, I, as I said at the top of the show, I do really love planning and setting goals and just, yeah, making plans in general. It's basically a hobby of mine.
Yeah. Yeah. And the new year is a great fresh start, a great opportunity to get back to the drawing board for those planners out there like you and me to try to figure out what the plan is for the new year. But reflecting on the previous year is really great.
Yeah.
Yeah. It can give you some great direction and a vision for where you want your sewing to go. And we received so many thoughtful responses to our prompts on Instagram. So thank you so much for that. And we're going to recap that a little bit later in the show.
Mm-hmm. So how are you feeling about 2019 and 2020?
I honestly feel really good about 2019. I did look back at my 19 for 2019 list, which we did on the Patreon episode for January. So if you guys are Patreon supporters, you can go back and listen to that if you want to, although you don't have to because it's embarrassing. But I totally failed at that list. I was very optimistic.
What were some examples? Do you remember any of them?
I wanted to go to 100 yoga classes.
100?
No fast food in 2019.
Oh, I have one like that too. I said I was only going to, I was going to buy less than 10 to-go coffees.
I was going to start running with Pepper, but then I also injured myself. I injured my like ankle and then my back. So I'm happy that I didn't get into running because, you know, that wouldn't have worked. But I did get into kind of a fitness journey, health journey, which I'm really proud of. And that's been awesome. That's like one of my greatest achievements this year, personally. But yeah, there was a lot of things on that list and not a lot of sewing related things. I did also take a pottery class. That was one of the things that I've wanted to do for a while. And we're actually, we took two pottery classes, like short ones, and we're signed up for like a 7-week class starting in January, which I'm really, really excited about, Shay and I. But yeah, even though I didn't achieve everything on my 19 for 2019, I think part of the problem is that I didn't even look at that list like past January. I'm still really, really proud of everything that went down in 2019. I really did a lot.
You did. You accomplished a ton with your business. And also, as you said, your fitness journey has been awesome. I mean, I've been along for the ride because we trained together. So I get to see it happening. But also the fact that you injured yourself and then turned around and said, you know what? No, I'm not going to let this injury stop me from getting in better shape and taking care of myself. And that's awesome.
Yeah. I think on the personal side, like part of the reason why I wanted to get into training with you was that I had been sick so many times in 2019, like early 2019, January through like June, I was sick like six or seven times. Like it was crazy. And I just didn't, you know, I was like, something's going on. Like, I need to make a change. And it has been really helpful, you know, training with you and having Liz, that like support system on the personal side is like really nice. I have never had somebody that like cares so much about my health, you know, and Liz, our trainer, really does. So that's been really, really great. But I think my biggest sewing goal this year is to just sew more consistently. I've been sewing a lot this week because I'm leaving on a trip tomorrow. And I just like, I wish I could figure out how to capture that like before a trip magic, like on a weekly basis, because there's something about that like excitement of like, I'm going on this trip. I want new things to wear. Like, it's not like I always sew before I travel and I always sew like great things. I finished my Dawn jeans this week. I made an Elliot sweater. Like, I'm like, I feel so good about that. And like, I love it when I get into my sewing room and I get into sewing, but there's like this kind of motivation issue. Like after a long day at work, you're like, couch or sewing room, maybe couch and Netflix, you know? Yeah. And I really have trouble like getting into sewing when there's not like some kind of like an outer pressure or like motivation happening. So maybe I need to like write into the show and get some advice from us about this.
Wait, you are going to write into our show?
I feel like this is like a question that we would answer on the show.
It's so true.
You know, but I don't know how to, I don't have the solution.
Could you get excited about making something new to wear to work on Monday?
Yeah,
maybe. Like maybe something like that. Or if you have a regular weekly date night with Shay, you could get excited about making something to wear to date night.
Yeah.
Or if you committed to making something and sharing it on the Blackbird Fabrics Instagram once a week, something like that.
Yeah, I think what I need is some kind of like challenge or like some kind of thing where I'm like, I'm going to do this consistently and like I'm tracking it somehow and there's some sort of outer accountability, because otherwise like it's well and good to be like, I'm really excited to go on this date and make something for this date, but like I'm not going to do it. You know,
I don't know.
Like some kind of like outer accountability. Anyways.
Or the fact that you sew sporadically is fine.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But I'd love to hear from listeners, because you guys are so great when I ask questions and you always email in with your thoughts. Like if anyone out there was ever like me, where they sewed kind of sporadically and often before like trips or something like that, and then managed to make it more of a routine. Like, I want to know what worked for you.
Yeah.
Because it is something like I want to sew more. I really, truly in my heart, I do, but it's hard to do it consistently, you know?
Yeah.
So that's my biggest goal, all of that to say. But I have decided like I'm not going to plan to make 9 for 2020. I'm not going to do a 20 for 2020. I'm not going to set any like big lofty goals. I kind of made a list of generally how I want to feel and spend my time in 2020, but like I don't want to set any big goals, put anything down on paper that I'm just going to look at next year and be like, damn, I didn't do that. Yeah. And I think that's okay.
That's totally fine.
So overall, I want to sew more. I want to continue with my health exercise journey. I want to cook more. I have not been cooking a ton this year, and I love my kitchen and I love cooking. So I just want to like kind of fall back in love with cooking. And I want to just like try to be a really awesome manager and help Blackbird continue to grow and thrive, because we're moving into a new warehouse in January. It feels like this like big new fresh start, and like just so much exciting stuff is coming up. So I want to really focus on making sure that I'm like managing everyone well. We have a much bigger team than we did last year, and just like be the best that I can be in my like role at Blackbird where it is right now. And also just like less stress and more relaxation, which I think I've been pretty good at this year. I've definitely been less stressed in 2019 than I was in previous years, but like I think I could do even better. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's all great. I would agree too. I don't think you've been that stressed. I mean, I'm always impressed by your cool, calm, collected vibes, considering all that you do have on your plate all the time. But yeah, I think you've been less stressed this year.
Especially and, like, the last few weeks.
Taking a step back to, like, you have such a great team, and the benefit of that is that they're running the show, right? Yeah. And that you don't necessarily need to be there all the time, which is great.
Yeah, that is pretty amazing, like, that I can be away from the office for a week or a few days or just a day, like, where I'm like, I'm out running errands today and things just happen. Yeah. My team pulls it together and they're amazing. I trust them. I trust them so much. And I trust them with the brand and I trust them with the the customer service side. Like, they're just so great. I'm really proud of that and happy that I'm at a time in my life where I can step away and feel good about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I have to embrace that. I want to hear about you because, like, I'm really excited to talk about 2020 with you.
Well, for 2019, I actually feel like it was a pretty big year for me. My word for the year, I like to do a word for the year. My 2019 word for the year was focus, because I wanted to try to avoid getting distracted all the time and really get things done, focusing on each pattern as I'm working on it, focusing on, you know, whatever it is that needs to be focused on, and trying to push away some of those distractions, which, you know, marginal success, but it was a good thing for me to try and put more energy into. And I also felt like focus meant taking more action and just going for things and doing things, even if they're really scary and intimidating and overwhelming and crazy. Speaking of scary things, I have a little bit of an announcement. We already talked about this on Patreon, and I did put a blog post up on my blog as well, so some of you may know. But before I say this, I just want to let you guys know that the podcast is not going to change. We're going to keep making the show. Please don't freak panic. Out. Don't panic. But the news is that Sam and I are moving, and we bought a house.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. Congratulations. Thank you.
Oh, I'm so proud of you guys. And I'm so excited for you. I'm so happy that you're telling everybody.
Yeah, it feels good. Our patrons may know that we announced it on Patreon with a little bit of awkwardness, because I hadn't talked about it to anyone in the sewing community yet. And I was feeling kind of shy and weird about it. But that gave me a boost of confidence. After talking about it on that show, I got several really nice messages, because we're actually moving out of Vancouver, which means that I won't be in the city with Caroline anymore. But as I said, we're going to keep making the show. And we're moving to a place called Courtney on Vancouver Island, that's also in BC in Canada. And it's about a 4-hour trip away. It's a drive and a boat ride to get there.
Or a very short flight.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, a very short flight, which is cool that there's an airport there so we can travel back and forth a little bit, which is our plan for the show. We're going to travel to each other. We want to see each other anyways. Mm-hmm. So we're going to try and make that work, traveling. And of course, we might have a few episodes where we record separately, but we're gonna figure it out.
Yeah,
the podcast is gonna keep coming your way.
Oh yeah. Like we said last week, we're not missing a week. That's no gonna happen.
We're gonna make it happen. Yeah. But to anyone in the Comox Valley or, you know, Campbell River, Nanaimo, like, I'm coming your way. Oh, I'm so excited. I want to hang out. I want to get to know all the sewists over there, so hit me up to say hi if you're interested. That's so awesome. Hi.
There's a great sewing scene in Courtney.
Yeah, the Spool Sewing Studio is there.
And Thread Theory Designs is
there.
Yeah,
it's Morgan. True. And Comox.
Yeah. I'm super excited for you. Obviously, I'm sad. I'm going to try not to cry again because I cried on Patreon. Let's make that only happen once. But obviously, I'm going to miss you like crazy. I'm going to miss having you here in front of me all the time. And we see each other like every week.
Yeah.
So more
almost every day, pretty much.
So especially with training. Yeah. So it's going to be different not having you around. I'm trying not to think too much about how different life is going to be, but
Caroline's eyes are so watery.
But I am so happy for you and Sam. And I think it's such a good decision for you guys. Like, and we're still going to see each other. We're still going to do the podcast. Like, nothing on that end is going to change.
Yeah.
It's such a good step for you.
And so we have really a guest bedroom waiting for you.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to come and stay, me and Pepper. Yeah. Shay's going to come sometimes. It's going to be so great. I'm actually really excited to go out and visit you every other month or whatever it ends up being to have like a little bit of time away.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's changes are hard and it's a big, brave move that you're making. Like, you're moving far. You're not moving to the suburbs of Vancouver. You're moving.
Well, we talked about that option, but one of the benefits of being an entrepreneur and now that we both are entrepreneurs working for ourselves, like, you can go outside of cities. You can go anywhere you want to be, really, right? You can do what you want to do with your time and you can be where you want to be when you're doing it. And as much as I love Vancouver and I grew up here and I've only had three homes my whole life, the house I grew up in, my first apartment, and this apartment we're sitting in right now, like, it's an insane jump for me to move. Sam's lived a few other cities, so it's like less scary for him, but I am terrified, like, I'll be honest.
Yeah.
But we're also just really excited about like a new chapter of our lives, you know? And I mean, the house is so beautiful.
Oh my God, you guys, this house is amazing. Like, it is, it's big, it's beautiful, it's so you, it has like little quirks.
It's super quirky.
But like, it's really gorgeous. And like, I can picture you guys in it. Like, it's such a good house. It's so, you can get so much more out in Courtney than what you could get here in Vancouver, you know? So you're just getting more. It's like, it's so smart. It makes so much sense.
I think we're going to be happy, you know, with our decision in the long run as well as right now, but we feel really good about it. Like, it just feels like a good choice. And because we're still relatively close, we still get to come back and visit.
Yeah.
I've got two trips planned already to come back to Vancouver like a month after we're gone. So I think I'm going to see my friends and family lots and it will make the time that I do see them more special. And you know what? Having someone like you in my life who lives apart from their family is inspiring because it's like given me a model of what that could look like. Yeah. And you're still really close with your family.
Yeah.
Yeah. Totally. It's possible.
It is. It is. It really is. And I almost felt like I grew closer with my family after moving away than I was when I was living in Montreal in the same city as them, because you're forced to touch base. You know, you're doing the FaceTime like weekly and you just like kind of have to keep in touch or else everything falls apart. Yeah. So it's been a positive thing. As much as I miss my family, you know, to be living away from them, I get to talk to them a lot still. So, and I'm sure you're going to continue to do that.
Oh yeah, for sure. It's going to be interesting. So I'm moving at the end of January.
January is going to be a crazy month. We're moving into our warehouse in January. You're moving into a new house in January. And
I haven't started packing, but we made a list. Neither of us could sleep last night. So we got up like out of bed. We got out of bed.
Oh, really?
And sat down and made a list of like what things we needed to start like decluttering and getting rid of some stuff and like packing, selling some things. Like there's just all these things that need to happen. And we both couldn't sleep last night because we were like too like buzzing, like thinking about it, you know? So that was good. Gosh.
It's such a fun adventure too. Like there's something so special about having that person in your life that you love and you're like, let's move to a different city together. Like nothing else matters. We're together. You know you're going to have an amazing time because Sam is such a great guy and you guys have such an awesome relationship. Like that's awesome. Yeah. You're super lucky to have that. So
I know. I do feel really lucky. I do feel like it's going to be amazing no matter what.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Anyways, I've babbled about it enough. I wrote a little bit more about it on my blog too. If you want to check that out, we'll link it in the show notes. But yeah, that's my big news. And that was something we were working on in 2019 was obviously trying to figure out where we wanted to move to, trying to look at places, buy a house, do all that stuff. So that was all super scary and very new to me and learned a lot of things about buying a house that I never knew before, which was pretty cool. So I think I feel really good about how it all went down and it just gave me, it made me feel inspired to try doing other big scary things.
Yeah.
Because it all worked out.
Yeah.
This episode is brought to you by Buffy. Buffy makes bedding that is super comfy and super sustainable. Buffy products are made using only renewable and recycled materials, which makes them as soft on the planet as they are on your bed.
Buffy comforters have over 11,000 reviews. Customers agree it is the softest, fluffiest comforter they've ever tried. Shay and I both love the weight of our Buffy comforter. It's so light and cozy, and we're sleeping better than we ever did with our old comforter.
The Buffy Cloud Comforter is softer than cotton and naturally soothes skin. It's covered with an ultra-breathable fabric made out of eucalyptus, which uses 10 times less water than cotton to grow and is produced using recyclable, earth-friendly solvents.
Did you know the inside fill of each Buffy comforter is made from 100% recycled water bottles? These bottles are given a second life as super fluffy fiber. After only 1 year, Buffy has recycled and reused over 6 million water bottles.
They let us both try their comforters and we are smitten. And now you can try one too. Buffy offers a free trial so you can try it for yourself. And if you don't love it, return it at no cost.
For $20 off your Buffy comforter, visit buffy.co and enter promo code LOVETOSEW. That's buffy.co, promo code LOVETOSEW for $20 off. You can thank us later.
And I actually enjoyed also the 19 for 2019. I had a bit of a different experience from you. It was fairly successful, but I did look at it quite often to like check back in with the things that I wanted to do. And the ones that I was more successful at were the ones that were really specific and just focusing on a fun activity to do, like go to the art gallery, like not go to the art gallery every week, but like just go once.
Yeah.
And then once I went, I got to check it off and be like, done. And like go on a road trip, like doesn't have to be super specific, but we went on a road trip, so got to check that off. Rather than the ones that was like, do more yoga. It's like kind of ambiguous and ended up doing less yoga. So yeah. Didn't really work out. But some of my favorite accomplishments from 2019 were knitting my first two sweaters. I wanted to knit one sweater, but ended up knitting two. And my first pair of socks in 2019. Releasing 5 sewing patterns. That was my goal for 2019. And I managed to hit that.
Yay.
I'm counting the apron because, you know, we have to count our wins.
It counts. It counts. It's a pattern.
Thank you. Embroidering a garment. I had so much fun embroidering my Ashton top, and it's one of my favorite things in my wardrobe. So that was really cool. Going on a road trip, as I mentioned, and then getting into exercise and training regularly was also like a huge accomplishment for me. Definitely something I needed to do. Was on the back burner for a few years and yeah, not feeling super great about that. So it was nice to turn that around in 2019.
Yeah.
And then in 2020, I made a 20 for 2020, and I have some fun things on my list. I decided to just pack it full of fun activities and things that I feel like at the end of the year, if I did these 20 fun, awesome things, I'd be like, wow, like what an amazing year. So go on an overnight kayaking trip.
Ooh.
Make 3 new friends. I'm moving to a new place, so I need to make 3 new friends. Learn to stand up paddleboard. Tried it once. Was okay at it. But that was before I started working out. So I feel like I'm going to be better at it now. And it was super fun. I really enjoyed it. Knit something cabled and also something with lace, because I haven't done either of those two things yet. And also get a dog.
Yay!
I know. That was it's the thing I'm most excited about. I'm actually almost more excited about getting a dog than moving.
Because your current apartment isn't dog friendly. So it wasn't even part of...
Yeah,
the equation.
But I've always wanted one, and we're so excited.
Me and Pepper can't wait.
Pepper will have a new friend.
Yes.
And as far as sewing goals go, I want to make more Dawn jeans. I have like 8 more pairs in mind. And I also want to do more refashioning and upcycling projects. I've just been feeling inspired lately to create a little bit less waste and use more of the materials that I have on hand, more upcycling stuff, because I have some garments that don't fit anymore. And the projects I've done in the past where I've upcycled have been my most favorite sewing experiences, mm-hmm. and have pushed me the most creatively and have made me the most proud. So I think I want to explore that more. I want to keep going with that, you know? So I'm excited for that. And I have a word of the year.
What's your word of the year?
It's new.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, I feel like there's going to be a lot of new things for me this year. And I want to try and savor it because things are only new the first time.
Wow.
You know? So I really want to embrace that. And also trying new things is going to be a big theme for my 20 for 2020, like overnight kayaking.
I have like 20 for 2020 FOMO.
Oh, you should make one, but make one that's more like fun things focused like me.
But I just said I wasn't going to make one.
But you weren't going to make one like the one you made last year.
Okay, maybe I should make one. Which was go to
yoga 100 times. That's basically 20 for 20s.
Okay, maybe I'll go to one yoga class.
Yeah, go to yoga. Check. No, nailed
it's
it.
True. I should. I'm really inspired. Again, we've mentioned her on the show before, but Hannah Corey did a 19 for 2019, and I think she did everything on her list or almost everything on her list. And she does this thing where like she'll go on Insta stories and like cross it off when she does it.
So
and,
satisfying.
Like, it's so satisfying. And like hers are also super manageable. And like one of them was try a new one new recipe each month.
Oh yeah, that's cool. Which Sam had that one.
I think it's a great idea. And I should just
wrote them
like
down. Yeah, you can do like multiple day or whatever tracker things too. Yeah. It's super cool.
Yeah. But I should do one that's like super small things that are very achievable.
Yeah. And you can still put so many fun things.
Yeah.
And yeah. Just for fun.
Okay.
It's all just for fun.
Okay. Maybe we'll talk a bit more. Do you want to like read your whole 20 list on Patreon?
Sure.
Okay. And maybe I'll come up with mine for Patreon
too.
That
sounds fun.
Okay. Well, we also reached out to you and asked what sewing goals you hope to focus on in the new year. By you, I mean all you all listening right now. And we got so many responses. Thank you all so much. We love it when we hear your voicemails and read your emails and comments. There's some great voicemails in the show today.
Yeah.
And we asked if any of you were thinking of doing a Make 9 for 2020. And quite a few of you responded and said you were interested in doing it again or giving it a try. So we wanted to start off this community section with a message from Amy and her idea of Make 3 in 3.
Hi, my name's Amy and I'm calling from Edinburgh, Scotland, and I have a little shop on Etsy where I sell deadstock and vintage fabric under the Instagram handle Craft and Thrift Shop. I wanted to call in after your recent Instagram call for our 2020 sewing goals. Because I actually just started a hashtag that I thought Love to Sew people might want to hear about. It's hashtag Make3in3. So make and then the number 3 in the number 3 again. And it was kind of off the back of the Make9 hashtag because I've done that the last 2 or 3 years. But I always struggle to keep up with the plans for the whole 12 months because I make all these plans in January. And then over the course of the year, my needs change or new patterns come out or I thrift fabric that I think, oh my God, I need to make that like right now. So over the course of the year, I think maximum I've ever made is maybe about 3 or 4 out of my Make 9. So I started this hashtag Make3in3 with the thought being that you would plan 3 months in advance and then review at the end of that 3 months. And obviously anything you've not made, you can kind of roll forward. Or it might be that at the end of those 3 months, you think, you know what, I actually don't want to make that anymore. And then you can drop it from your plans. And it's just a little bit more flexible and allows you to take into account sort of things that happen throughout the year and your changing needs and yeah, take advantage of pattern sales or whatever's going on in that quarter. So just wanted to put it out there because if anyone wants to use the hashtag, I'm looking to kind of do a little roundup in my Instagram stories maybe every week. I thought it'd be quite fun to kind of keep up with it throughout the year, share your goals and your plans with everyone, and I'll obviously be sharing mine as well. Love the podcast, been following since the beginning, and I'm a Patreon, and it was lovely to speak to you guys. Bye.
Amy, thank you so much. I love this suggestion. One of the things about Make 9 that makes me hesitant to participate is the idea of planning 9 makes for the whole year. And sometimes, you know, maybe you only are going to make 9 things in the whole year. And how can you decide all of those 9 things right away at the beginning of the year? It's so stressful. So I love the idea of splitting it up into batches of 3 and figuring out Make3in3, you know, I only have to think of 3 things and I have 3 months. It feels a little bit more digestible.
Mm-hmm. I think you could be flexible with any kind of challenge you do too. If you want to swap out something you had in mind for something new, go for it.
Yeah.
There are no rules.
Totally.
It's fine. This episode is brought to you by Grammarly. Grammarly is a writing assistant that makes you look and sound smarter to show your best self through your writing. Grammarly is available across tons of platforms and devices. I use the online browser extension on my Mac and the mobile keyboard checker on my iPhone.
The whole Love to Sew team uses it. We all love the Grammarly premium features. It's so cool that it analyzes your writing not only for correctness, but for tone and readability. It will also tell you if your email comes across as serious or fun. It's so hard to convey tone over email, but Grammarly makes it easy.
I've been using Grammarly for years for spelling and grammar, but the premium features feel like they're actually showing me how to write better. It can help you too. Stop making email typos on your phone, sound more professional at work, or even polish your resume to get that new job in 2020.
Go to grammarly.com/lovetosew to get 20% off your Grammarly premium account today. That's grammarly.com/lovetosew for 20% off your Grammarly premium account.
Thanks, Grammarly. Okay, there were definitely some themes when we read and listened to all of your feedback and your comments. And some of those themes were things like slow sewing and sustainability,
leveling up and working on the details,
creating your dream wardrobe,
specific project goals,
and sewing for fun is sewing for me.
I love it.
Yeah, that relates back to our Can You Sew This For Me episode.
Yeah, we also had a lot of responses incorporating two or three of these themes. For example, a focus on sustainability, but also on creating a dream wardrobe. So let's start off with slow sewing and sustainability.
Yeah, I think this was far and away the most popular category. And we feel that as well, being a part of this community, it's a theme that comes up again and again. And I think just the fact that we're taking all of this time to make things for ourselves is naturally going to cause us to think about how long it takes to make things and what kinds of things we want to have in our wardrobe and how we want to spend our time and what kinds of things we want to make. So it totally makes a ton of sense.
Yeah, definitely. So we have a voicemail from Sarah.
Hi, my name is Sarah and I'm from Georgia in the state, in a tiny town. I'm calling in response to your ask about sewing goals for next year. Last year's episode with Elise from Elise Gets Crafty was incredibly inspirational. And so I'm having a word for the year, which is intention. And my hope is that that intention goes into my sewing practice and I'm better about making things that fit into a wardrobe plan and making things with the things that I already have instead of just getting more stuff. So love the podcast and you guys are awesome and I'm so excited to hear the episode. Thanks. Bye.
Yay, a word for the year fan.
I love it.
I mean, if you guys want to set a word for the year, it's really easy. Just think about something overall that you're wanting to focus on, think about throughout your year. And I actually did think about my word a lot throughout the year. I found it was like a good home base to come back to.
Yeah.
And be like, does this align with my word for the year?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. On Instagram, we have messages from Sable Craft who said, 2020 is all about slowing down, taking my time to do the best finishes that will make my garments last the test of time.
I love this. Jelly and Ice Cream Shop said, mine will be to continue to not buy ready-to-wear clothes and to continue to either mend, upcycle, or make my own, saving the planet one garment at a time.
Silji Sews and Crafts says, I really want to use more of my sewing books, so I'm planning to sew at least one item from each of my sewing books where patterns are included. So a minimum of 11 items at this point.
Wow.
Ooh, that's a great idea. I think we all have those pattern books in our collection that have so many great designs in them and just need to flip through and actually make a plan to make some of them.
Yes, I love it. Okay, the next kind of section is all about leveling up and details. And we have an email from Kathy that I am going to read. Hello, lovely ladies. I've sewn my whole life, but have finally decided to start to step it up a notch. In the past month, I've been trying to try harder things or doing things better. Currently, I'm Frenching all the seams. Next year, I want to try tailoring. I signed up for the Jessica Blazer course and want to muslin and pad stitch and make higher quality things. I don't want to be consumerist, either in ready-to-wear fashion or at home. So I'm going to slow down, make less, but better. Thank you for your wonderful community that you bring to my ears each week. From Melbourne to you, Kathy.
Thanks, Kathy. Yeah, again, I think a lot of people can relate to that feeling, especially wanting to get away from the ready-to-wear fast fashion world. When you start getting into sewing, it's really exciting and an opportunity, again, to just take your time.
Yeah, and picking a project like the Jessica Blazer, where there's lots of support online, encouragement, there's that e-course, it's a really great choice for upping your sewing game because you get a whole bunch in that one package, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, we also have a comment from Instagram. Mama Camp Makes, I really want to tackle fabrics I've been afraid of. I've got lined up some Dawn jeans in stretch denim, a reed skirt in corduroy, a Cooper bag in wax canvas, and something in silk. Fabric is in my stash. Patterns are printed. I just have to do it.
Oh, I love this plan. There's so many good ways to level up with textiles alone. Just try something mm-hmm. you've never sewn with before.
Yeah.
Liz Crafty says, details, details, details. The finishing touches and details that make a garment look truly impressive, like deliberate top stitching and fitting, have been a huge focus for me this year. And I want to carry that through to next year, but more so. Not details that make it look professional, details that make it look mine and translate my personality and style preferences to design decisions that are visible throughout my wardrobe. Accent colors, useful pockets, and fun hardware that elevate something from me made to made for me by me. I love that. Not just me made, made for me.
By me.
By me. So cool. There's so many great things you can do here. We're talking with Melanie, our podcast assistant, about customizing her clothes and adding those little details, little embroidered moments, special tags that you have printed, fun accent colors on like the underside of your collar or your yoke. Like there's so many fun ways that you can customize garments. Mm-hmm.
Really great. Okay. How about creating a dream wardrobe? I love it that our listeners are into this. Meg Handmade said, I started sketching my 2020 goals just this week using my body model Croquis, which I love. My drawings only use patterns I already have paired with fabrics in my stash. Also, after having two kids, my body has changed and I want to be kinder to it. So planning is really important to me in order to create a wardrobe that flatters my body. I'd also love to start a YouTube channel, but small steps at this stage.
Ooh, I like that kind of goal setting. This is really cool. I think taking a moment to just look at your pattern stash and your fabric stash and then sketching ideas using only those things. I love that concept.
I do too. It's a really great challenge. Yeah. Because we all have amazing fabrics and amazing patterns in our stash. Of course. Already.
All right. Tarina Was Here says, I'm continuing my 2019 goal of making an adaptive wardrobe for my body. I have chronic pain, inflammation, and an asymmetrical body. So sewing my own clothes has been very liberating. I can make things that expand where I need them to and in fabrics that work for changing internal temperatures. More importantly, my clothes don't hurt me like store-bought ones do.
Isn't that amazing about sewing that you can so make cool. clothes just custom for you?
I'm imagining all sorts of cool like moisture wicking fabrics mm-hmm. and like zip off sleeves yeah. and vents and oh my gosh, so yeah. exciting.
Yeah. Our next email is from Christine. Hi, Helen and Caroline. I'm calling 2020 the year of pants. Love this. Working through the curated closet book this year helped me to see where I need to add more of this key component to my wardrobe. My Make 9 2020 will be 9 pairs of pants, including ginger jeans, Don jeans, Sloan leggings, Jenny overalls, Sasha trousers, Burnside bibs, Pietro pants, self-drafted cigarette pants, and a wild card.
Ooh,
that's hey. Such a good idea. Wild card.
Okay. A wild card. I have a pair of pants coming out soon, maybe.
You want to be the wild card.
I do.
I'll be working on fit issues and trying out some new silhouettes. Thanks, Love to Sew team, for all you do for the sewing community. Looking forward to hear more of your podcast in 2020. Thank you, Christine. Oh my gosh. I love this idea of doing 9 pairs of pants.
Yeah.
You're going to be a pants guru at the end of the year.
It's true. And you could do anything like that. You could do 9 button-up shirts,
yeah.
9 bras, whatever it is you want to get better at in sewing, but really go for it and make sure that you make enough pairs that you're basically an expert.
It just makes me so happy thinking about how intimately Christine is going to know her crotch curve by the end of the year. Like, I feel like she's going to get to know so much about her body and fitting her body by through making 9 pairs of pants, different pants.
Yeah, it's so, cool. so true. Yeah, you will learn a lot. But I also want to say that if you find your dream pants, your dream jeans, it's okay if you just make those 20 times.
That's true.
You'll also get really good at making jeans if you do that.
That's true.
Because sometimes you just find one that works, you know? Yeah. All right. A lot of you also had very specific project goals, which we loved hearing about. We have a voicemail here from Canberra.
Hello, Helen. Hello, Caroline. My name is Canberra, and I'm calling from Connecticut. I would like to sew more in 2020, specifically creating pieces that are part of a wardrobe that I'm excited about and that is useful to me. I knit more than I sew these days, so trying to combine sewing and my knitted garments into really fun projects. And one of the things I would do in terms of leveling up my skills and doing something I've never done before is to make a coat. I collect coat patterns, so I have so many different styles to choose from. So this year, I would like to use one of those patterns to create a unique coat for myself. Thank you for the podcast. Adore the theme music and hope both of you have a wonderful holiday season. And I'm looking forward to listening to many, many episodes. Bye.
I'm loving all these well wishes from listeners, like roped in with their goals. They're also wishing us a happy new year.
It's so sweet. And I feel like, Kenmara, you should have a podcast. Your voice is so soothing.
I was thinking the same thing. Such a soothing voice.
It really is.
Well, about the coat, though. Actually, I made a coat last year. I guess it would have been end of 2018, but I finished it in early 2019. And it's one of my favorite garments, like one of my favorite things to wear, one of my favorite projects that I worked on. Make the coat because you're gonna love wearing it. It's like you can wear it multiple days in a row and not feel bad because it's a coat. And it's just so fun to wear a handmade coat because it's one of those things where a handmade coat, it's like not something that you can find in a store, you know, like the styles that are out there. I'm sure you have some amazing patterns. I can't wait to see.
Yeah, it's so exciting. I agree. A coat is such a fun project. Yeah. I love sewing outerwear.
And it's not as hard as it sounds for those of you out there. And we have a whole episode about it, don't we?
Yeah, we do.
Yeah. Called sewing coats.
If we don't, we should, but I'm pretty sure we do.
Yeah, I think we do. Our next comment is from Instagram, and please forgive me, from at MedBorgerBrawlin. My goals 2020, to make a coat and a pair of jeans. Scary stuff, but I can do it, right?
Yes, you absolutely can. We had actually a lot of responses saying that people, like their specific project goal would be jeans or coats. Those both came up a lot. I think those are both excellent goal projects.
Yeah.
They are sewing projects that require a few more steps. Maybe you do it over multiple days, multiple weeks, multiple months, whatever it takes. But it's so worth it.
Sounds like we need to get more denim at Blackbird.
Yeah, you do.
For all these jeans people are making.
All right. At KimN21 says, I'm going to sew either a dress or a skirt. I've made things before with a lot of help from mom, but I haven't in a long time. So if I manage this, it will be my first solo project.
Ooh. Good luck, Kim.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited for you. And I love that you're tackling this on your own. You got this.
That's awesome. Our next comment is from Courtney1712. I'm pregnant with my first child due in June. My goals for 2020 are to improve my skills and make most of their clothes instead of purchasing them. We noticed quite a few goals around life changes, including moves, weddings, kids, all that kind of thing. And I love this. I think it's like such a great opportunity to start a new habit when you have a fresh start, like moving or some kind of a change in your life.
A milestone.
Yeah. So I love it. And I love the idea of making clothes for your kids instead of purchasing them, because making clothes for kids is really fun and also really fast.
Fast, fun, satisfying. You get to use all those fun prints. I mean, what's not to like? Congratulations, Courtney. All right. Lastly, we are talking about sewing for fun equaling sewing for me. And we have a voicemail here from Suzanne.
Hello. This is Suzanne. I'm Pistol Whip on Instagram, calling from Austin, Texas. And I am calling to represent the anti-planning faction, which actually might just be me. But anyway, I'm not a natural planner. Planning is stressful to me. I do have to plan things in my life to make it run smoothly, especially with children. But I kind of hate it. And I notice that when I try to make sewing plans, I just end up rebelling against them. Like 2 years ago, I did make 9. And I mean, I put up the post. And I made 0 of those things, even though they were 9 things I really wanted to make. And I sewed like 30 garments that year. I just stayed away from those 9 things. I don't know. It's like planning makes me into a rebellious teenager. So I mostly just allow myself the freedom to sew whatever I feel like sewing at the moment. And it's amazing. And for people who are stressed out by planning, I recommend it. All right. I love the show and I listen every week and I hope you keep making it forever. All right. Bye.
Hi, Suzanne. I love following you on Instagram.
We were both really excited to hear from you.
Yeah.
You guys should go follow Suzanne at Pistol Whipped. You're great. I just think that Pistol Whipped and Pimp Slap should be friends on Instagram.
Maybe they are
already. If they're not already. Yeah.
Denise, Suzanne, connection.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Well, I think this this message was for you, Caroline. This non-planning permission to
It's true.
To screw all the plans, do your own thing.
I do think that there are, you know, different types of people out there, and some people just don't like to plan or don't like enjoy it. Don't it doesn't work for them. Maybe they try and then it doesn't work out, and then that's frustrating. And I super, super get this perspective, Suzanne, and you're totally allowed to not plan and just make whatever you want whenever you want. I think that's really awesome.
So simple.
Yeah.
So minimalist. So authentic and real, you know?
Are you going to convert to a non-planner?
Maybe.
Yeah, right. Never.
All right. We have a message here from Pamela Rubel. My goals for 2020 are simple. Stop buying and start making. I've been so inspired by the podcast and the online sewing community to actually start making my own clothes. I don't want to shop for clothes anymore and will give or donate what doesn't fit me as well. This year, I've been buying patterns and a bit of fabric, and soon I want to start making. Before, I've only made stuff for other people, but now I need to start making for me. I also want to start a blog. Ooh, Pamela, I love it. I can feel the excitement coming through, and that's awesome that you've kind of collected some supplies. You're ready to go. I mean, my biggest piece of advice for you is just do exactly what you said. Just start making.
Forget everyone else. Don't make things for other people anymore. Just make things for yourself. You're going to love it.
Once you start, it's going to be great.
All right. Our next message is from Cassandra Sews. My plan is to sew 15 minutes every day. With school, it's really hard to find time to sew, and I miss it. All I want is to make sure I stay in the habit of sewing regularly. Whatever progress I make in those 15 minutes is good progress.
Hey, maybe this could work for you.
I also think this could work for me. I feel like that is super manageable. Like the idea of just hitting up my sewing room for 15 minutes a day.
Right.
Like obviously if I'm, you know, except when I'm traveling and stuff, but if I'm there, I think I can do that. And then it's never going to just be 15 minutes, is it? I'll probably be in there probably for longer. Not.
That's the scary thing, especially for someone like Cassandra who's talking about going to school and stuff. Don't get distracted. Yeah.
But it's like Brittany J. Jones when she was talking about her sew in 30 hashtag, where she was like, get in there for 30 minutes and you'd be amazed at what you can accomplish. It's true. You can like put on a waistband in 15 or 30 minutes. Yeah. Like it can, you can get a lot done. And when you add all of those things together, that's an hour and 45 minutes per week of sewing if you do 15 minutes a day.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That means you get almost 8 hours a month, like
of sewing. You can that would be like finishing a garment a month.
Yeah.
And then at the end of the year, you have 12 new garments because of your new habit. Yeah.
No, I do think this is so smart. And I feel like this really could work for you. Maybe you just need to pick a time of day that you're gonna do that though.
I think it has to be right when I get home from work.
Whoa. That's my least productive time of day.
I have to
kick the shoes off, lie really? Down.
But once I kick the shoes off and lie down, there's no going back. There's no getting up.
Oh my gosh, the struggle is real. All the people out there with children are just rolling their eyes at us.
It's true.
You guys don't know what it's like.
Well, I think that's a great place to wrap up this episode because I'm super inspired.
Gonna go home and sew something?
Yeah.
How many things did you make this week? Before your trip?
Not that many, actually. I finished my Dawn jeans and I made the Elliot sweater that I'm currently wearing.
It's beautiful.
And I cut out a bunch of undies, but I haven't sewn them yet. So I feel good about it though. Yeah. My Dawn jeans were like a beast. I worked on them for like 3 nights.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the thing with jeans. Space it out a little bit.
Yeah.
Get that top stitching right.
I do love them so much.
Yeah.
Like so, so much. As much as I wanted to.
Yeah. An amazing pattern. Thank you, Megan.
Maybe for our Patreon episode, I also want to go back and make a list of everything I made this year.
Oh. Because
I have a list that I started. I think it's on my phone or something. And I'll just have to go and fill in from the months where I left off. But that's really fun to look back on everything that you made because it makes you feel like, wow, I actually accomplished more than I thought.
It is really cool to track things. And that reminds me, for those of you who want to do the 15 minutes a day or whatever kind of daily practice you're going to have around your goals, that at least Joy has that daily tracker page. It's always a really cute layout and you can just print it off. I think you sign up for her newsletter and you get it and you can put it up on your wall and just color in the days as you go along. And it's cool to see like these big blocks of time like show up in your calendar. Sam has one for his miniature painting and he's painted a lot this year. It's really amazing looking at it.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, well, thank you everyone who submitted an email, voicemail, and commented on social media. We love you guys. Thank you for supporting us this year. Thank you for listening to the show. And we wish you all the best with your 2020 sewing and planning and making and just life in general. You guys are awesome.
Yeah. And if you need help with anything or have questions for us, you can reach us at hello@loveToSewPodcast.com. We love hearing from you. And we will talk to you in the new year.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
That's it for today's episode of Love to Sew. You can find me, Caroline, at blackbirdfabrics.com and Helen at helensclosetpatterns.com.
We're recording today in rainy Vancouver, Canada. It's so rainy.
It's so rainy and cold.
You can get in touch with us and get links for everything we talked about in this episode at lovetosewpodcast.com.
My mom called me yesterday and she was like, it's minus 35 in Montreal. And I was like, boy. So we should really stop complaining about the rain.
Hey, wetness is different than snow.
Okay. If you are loving the show and want to hear more of this banter, you can support us on Patreon. Contribute $5 or more a month and you'll get access to our bonus episode feed. That's a bonus episode every month. And if you contribute $10 or more a month, you'll get a 15% discount code for both of our shops and a bonus mini-sode from the amazing Melanie. Go to patreon.com/lovetosew for more info.
Thank you to our amazing podcast team, Sam Humphrey and Melanie Brister. And thank you all so much for listening this year. We'll talk to you next year.
Love it. I have to stop saying that.
Love it.
Love it. Please cut all those out, Sam. All of them. Thank you.